Shapeshifting Reality podcast, also working with Debbie Dashier of the Dare to Dream podcast. We bring you conversations on the subjects of science and spirituality, and we also branch into areas that can help you achieve greater success in the material world. And today's conversation falls into the latter category. We have with us today Anmol Singh. Anmol is a Wall Street trader and also an educator on the subjects of the strategies and techniques involved in how to increase your trading. And he teaches how you can do some trading either part-time or full-time. So if you've got a full-time gig and you want to just enhance your income a bit, his information could be very valuable to you. Or if you have interest in getting into trading as a full-time profession, a full-time business, he has information for you as well. So please welcome Anmol Singh. Hi, friends and listeners. This is Rob Rowe, working here with Debbie Dashinger from the Dare to Dream podcast. And I have the great honor to be here with Anmol Singh. And rather than me tell you about him, I'll let him tell you about him. Anmol, thanks for coming on the podcast.
Thanks for having me. Looking forward to chatting with you.
Excellent. So why don't we start for our listeners with a little bit of groundwork. I'm really curious personally about the kind of work that you do as far as, you know, helping entrepreneurs get off the ground or maybe improve their businesses based on techniques and strategies from the high-intensity trading world of Wall Street, it sounds like. And then after that, I'd like to dig into your background as far as how you got here a little bit, but why don't you just lay it out for us a little bit as far as, you know, what it is you actually do.
Sure. So I personally am currently a stock market and a Forex trader. And we also have a firm that we teach other people how to trade the markets, as well as having advisory services like newsletters and chat room, like all the resources that someone would need who's invested in the markets or is looking to trade. So I personally help traders with their trading as well as their trading psychology, because a lot of things in trading are not really to do with the stock you're buying or selling or with the strategy. It's actually to do with your mindset, right? Your ability to let go of your ego and not focus on being right, but focus on actually producing return. So as they say, you know, focus on the ROI, right? Return on investment, more important than return on ego. So like how to take yourself out of it, not try and be right, and how, you know, you could trade in a disciplined manner. And a lot of the psychological issues that people might have in their real life really come to the forefront when they start trading, because they're, you know, not disciplined, they're not taking their losses, they should, you know, take a small loss, they're holding on to a bigger one, or they're hoping for it to come back up, which, as we know, hope is not a strategy.
So, you know, always a good strategy.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, Warren Buffett talks about buy and hold, but what people actually end up doing is buy and hope, you know, which is not a strategy.
So what is it you were mentioning? We were talking earlier about, you know, you've got a book out in regards to using some personal development or helping people with some personal development based on some consulting you've done with hedge fund managers. Is that correct?
Yeah, so a lot of traders I work with are, you know, obviously there's high stakes on the line. There's a lot of behavioral issues that arise from, you know, trading. And I try and work with them on those and trying to limit, you know, their negative side. So rather than focusing on like their weaknesses and try and get their weaknesses better, what I focus on is just take what they're good at, take their strengths and really excel that forward. And, you know, really creating a disciplined approach to anything in life, you know, business, trading, entrepreneurship, like taking a disciplined approach and focusing on data, focusing on numbers, right? As I say, you know, I can lie, anybody can lie, numbers can't lie. So my goal is just to drill everything down that they do in a logical manner that they can actually follow. And the whole goal is, you know, of trading is to create a system that's profitable and then follow the system. So you should judge yourself on how good or how closely you can actually follow the system, not really the results. And then over time, results will take care of itself as long as you're following the system.
That makes sense. So how about if you lay the groundwork for us a little bit? What brought you to this point in your career? Can you tell us a little bit about, you know, some work you've done in the past and maybe a little bit about your education and that sort of thing? What brought you to this point?
Sure. So, I mean, I was in college in Brunel University in London. I went to get my business degree. You know, it was a four-year degree. And in the second year, they kind of ask you, go get some internship, you know, work for somebody. Come back on the third year, and then you do the third and fourth year to graduate. So I was in my second year, you know, trying to look for jobs, trying to find internships. I was applying everywhere, all the big banks and everything. Didn't get in anywhere, right? And then I say, well, maybe let me, you know, hone down my ambition. Let me go for some small companies. Started applying to smaller companies, startups, got some interviews, but again, didn't get anywhere. So I was like, you know, I got to do something on my second year. Can't take a whole year off and come back at it. So I started, you know, diving into the market, stock market, and kind of reading a lot of books, articles, trying to really pick this thing up and learn, because I clearly knew there's money in it, because, you know, we grew up watching movies about Wall Street and you clearly know there's money in it. Now I just got to figure out how to go get it. So I started researching into the markets, reading books, podcasts, blogs, you know, courses, seminars, whatever, like you name it, did everything. So the whole second year for me was like a learning year. And then I started writing my own blog and my own articles, which was picked up by Yahoo Finance and things of that nature. And they started paying me, you know, for research, you know, to publish their articles. So I started writing for them. And then eventually I said, well, investing is great, but, you know, I'm in college. I don't have millions of dollars, right, to invest or to make money on. I need to make money. So then I started looking into trading, which is more shorter term form of being involved in the markets. Because with investing, if, you know, a great return, they say, is 10%. But what if I only had $10,000? You know, 10% is $1,000. It's not much. So then that's when I focused on short-term trading, and I found a mentor of mine. He was teaching a course at a firm. I, you know, put in my last $5,000 in it, purchased that course, and then eventually that led to good things. I took the course, came onto their firm, started trading their capital in exchange for a percentage of profits, started trading their money, and then eventually started coaching and training for them. So that's kind of how I got my start of the teaching world. And now my business partner, who's my business partner now, who's actually my mentor, who actually taught me how to trade.
Oh, awesome. So you have a book out, is that correct?
Yeah, so the book, it's not really anything to do with trading. It's called Prepping for Success, 10 Keys for Making It in Life. So all the things that I learned over, you know, my journey, you know, of personal development, getting better, you know, improving my mindset, improving my psychology, like all the things that I learned after spending hundreds of thousands of dollars in workshops and seminars and events, you know, because I realized not everybody has that amount of money to invest in themselves or even the time to go through the journey that I went through. And all the concepts that I teach, you know, million-dollar traders, you know, how to manage their psychology and the behavior, I noticed that the same concepts apply in, you know, your day-to-day life. As you become a better trader, you also become a better human being. And, you know, so I took everything packaged into 10 keys because I don't want to have 11, 12, bunch of things people need to do. Distill it down to 10 keys that they can start, you know, applying into their life right now to, you know, prepare for their own success.
Give us a little taste then. What are some of the 10? Most of our listeners are really centered on the whole personal development space, the spiritual space, the entrepreneurial space. So you're talking to a lot of people who could probably really use something like this to just keep them tuned up and keep them focused. And you know, they probably all have some sort of a meditational practice, maybe some sort of spiritual practice. And the vast majority of our listeners are entrepreneurs. So there's probably a lot of things that could be applied to a stressful situation in trading that could be applied to, you know, just how you run your business too. You just, you know, keeping your eye on the ball, so to speak, maybe not getting emotionally involved. You know, maybe, you know, if things get overwhelming sometimes, how to decrease that overwhelm and stay centered. Do you work with those kind of concepts?
Yeah, I mean, I think the simplest concept, which also is the most hardest, it's the hardest concept to really apply in your day-to-day life, but it's the biggest difference maker. Like, whether you're an entrepreneur, whether you're a trader, whether you're nobody, you're just learning, you know, you're just trying to improve your life, quality of your life. No matter where you are and what you do, the biggest key, which is the number one success key in my book, is integrity, right? Meaning being a person of integrity, you know, doing what you said you were going to do and then doing it when you said you were going to do it, right? I mean, just imagine how good your quality of life would be if you did everything that you said you were going to do and you did it when you said you were going to do it. And everything starts and ends with integrity, right? Because without this number one success key, like nothing else will work, right? I mean, it's all going to fall downhill if you don't have any integrity. So, and people say, well, you know, I'm a person of integrity. I rarely, you know, I'm a person of not having integrity and I'm good. Well, really, let's take a look. You know, when is the last time a friend called you and you said, hey, you know, yeah, we should definitely meet up. We should definitely make a plan to meet up, and you never followed through.
Sure.
When was the last time, you know, you got a call from your parents or anybody, and you said, well, I'm just in the middle of something, let me call you back. And you never did, yeah, right? Absolutely. Those, even those little things like that, that's a break in integrity, right? Because what you're saying to yourself and to your self-esteem, to your self-confidence, is that I don't believe what I'm saying. Right? If you don't believe in your own word, how do you expect the universe to believe in you? So everything starts and ends with integrity. Do what you said you were going to do. Do it when you said you were going to do it. I mean, just think about it. Like people say all the time, well, from Monday, I'm going to start eating healthy, right? One day I'm going to start working out. Well, you know, we all know what happens to that Monday. Never comes. So, you know, you got to focus on that number one success key because everything starts there. Because you can have all the other success keys, but if you're not going to follow through on your word, everything falls apart. So focus on being a person of integrity and make sure that whatever comes out of your mouth, you really mean it and you really take action on it. Because those little things, when you start listening to yourself and you start taking action on what you said you were going to do, that increases your self-esteem and your self-confidence that will, you know, spill over to all the areas of your life.
Awesome. You know, Tim Ferriss says a lot of the time, how you do anything is how you do everything. So the little patterns that we set for ourselves, you know, translate into habits. And those habits, you know, if they're good habits and they're really ingrained, we can take the small things into much larger things. So, you know, I totally agree with that. You know, it makes a lot of sense. It's really good to get those little habits going right in the beginning. So how is your business looking now? Is it a sort of a combination of helping people on the entrepreneurial and personal development angle and then also specifics on trading? Is it kind of spread amongst all those things?
So my businesses are mainly focused around trading. So either be it working with traders who are already trading and, you know, improving their results, working with their mindset, or people who are totally new, who have done nothing about the markets, working with them to, you know, start their own career. So that's where most of my business is focused. The book that I wrote is just a passion project, like something that I wanted to write. So I don't, you know, really work with somebody on personal development basis. It's just the book that all the concepts that I've learned over my career, you know, running multiple companies and trading and having, you know, hundreds of employees, what I've learned is what's in the book. And it's called Prepping for Success with the very name. This book will help you prepare for success. And success could also mean different things to different people. But the way I define it is, you know, being okay with where you're at in each of those areas. So health, love, wealth, happiness, all that there needs to be together. Because you could be the most financially successful person in the world, but if your health's a mess, that's not success, right? Sure. Or you could be in the best shape of your life, but if you're broke, then that's not success. Or maybe you're in the best shape, you have the finances, but your relationships are horrible. Oh, that's not success either. So success is being okay with where you're at in each of those areas and for also focusing on, you know, being a wholesome kind of a success. So that's what we talk about in the book, is how to achieve success in each and area of area of your life.
Cool. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. So when we talk about trading, that means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. Trading and investing kind of overlap a little bit. Back when I was a lot more in the markets, around the dot-com days, I was really close to Investor's Business Daily. And I really followed Bill Nielsen's work a lot. And he was kind of more what you might think of as an intermediate term investor, anywhere from a few weeks to a few months. And, you know, he was really big on a combination of technical and fundamental analysis, both put together. What kind of time frames do you look at with the people that you coach? Are you more like a real short term? Are you more of a day trader or more, you know, days and weeks? How does that look? How active does somebody have to really be to be successful with your strategies?
Right. So a good thing about trading is that, you know, you could become a variety of different forms of trader, you know, based on your personality. So there's three types of trading that we teach, right? There's two styles. One is called the income producing style and one is called a wealth building style. So the income producing style is your, what you're going to live off, right? Your income. That's what I call income producing. So that would be day trading. Day trading would be you trading in and out every day. So you're typically holding stocks for a few seconds to a few minutes, right? Maybe a few hours, but you're typically getting in and out the same day. So that's an income producing style. Another form of income producing style is called swing trading, right? So swing trading, you would hold a stock for maybe 2 days, 3 days, maybe like a week or two, right? Mm-hmm. That will be called swing trading. Now you're typically on that, as I said, you're holding for maybe a week or so, or sometimes days. So you're not getting in and out every day. So that's more suitable for somebody who maybe has a job, wants to do it on the side, or have a self-directed, you know, IRA account, 401k account, to self-direct that. So that's what they can do it for. And then the other style is wealth building, which is more suitable to what you were mentioning earlier, which is going to be holding in the stock for maybe a few months, right? Maybe a year, right? But typically a few months to a few years. Sometimes it could also be a few weeks. But everything that we do is based around technicals. We don't really look at fundamentals because, you know, we feel fundamentals are, number one, manipulated. All the information is already out there. Plus, big hedge funds and all that, they have way more resources and they have way more staff and research quality than you and I do reading articles online. So I think there's no edge as a fundamental trader because all the information is already out there. People have better access to the information. Plus, they have more inside information that we probably don't as a public. So we don't look at fundamentals at all. We strictly focus on statistics. So we look at charts, patterns, and then we know we have certain patterns that we know are have X amount of probability, X amount of win rate, X amount of, you know, numbers that they have. And we just execute on that model over and over again because we know historically this is what the model makes every year. And then we just try to mimic that every single year.
Sure. Charts are so interesting. You know, I'm no expert.
I hope I didn't confuse you.
I've been so very interested in it, you know, throughout my life, you know, all the way back from, you know, the mid 90s, you know, to the crypto boom and the crypto bust. And, you know, I followed a lot of the top, you know, crypto guys, fellow up in the Bay Area. His name eludes me at the moment. Kind of a strange name. One of these guys that has, it sounds like his last, he's got a first name that sounds like a last name. I'll think of it in a moment. He's real, real good technical analyst on crypto.
Right.
Do you deal much in crypto?
I personally don't. You know, and we published an article, you know, on why we don't really believe in crypto. Not especially as a trading instrument, but I published an article. I remember that article was published, I think, December 17th or something of last year. And literally that was the highest Bitcoin ever went. It was more of a hit piece. It was more about why we don't believe in it, why we think, you know, you should not invest in it or only invest what you can willing to lose on it. Sure. And yeah, I mean, that was on the height at 19,000. I think after that it came to 3,000. Maybe now it's back to like maybe 9 or 10.
Right. So, is there any kind of element of what you teach is involved in an area of personal interest for a person? If someone's, you know, really into, you know, the tech space or really into the cannabis space or, you know, biotech, well, you know, whatever it might be, if you've got some personal knowledge in that area, does that enter into it at all? Or is it, you know, in other words, you know, how do you maybe go about picking a few stocks or other types of securities that you might want to follow and trade on?
Sure. So as I mentioned earlier, like everything we do, we have usually about a few patterns that we teach, you know, 7 to 10 patterns. So we're specifically looking for those patterns. We're manually scanning over, you know, a lot of stocks every day to find the ones that are exhibiting that pattern. Ones that don't have that pattern, we know we don't have an edge. So we move on. We wait for it to set up that pattern. But once we see a pattern, that's when we get into it. So we would trade a variety of things. Like, you know, I'm not loyal to any stock. Sometimes I'll trade banking stock. Sometimes I'll trade a biotech. Sometimes I'll trade a cannabis stock. Like whatever has that pattern, I would trade it. Now, what I'd tell people is if you have a bias, for some reason you want to be involved in the cannabis sector, you made up your mind. Then what we do is we make a list of, let's say, 10 cannabis companies that we're going to watch. As soon as we see one of our patterns to get in, that's when we actually get in, because that will keep us out of trouble on the time when it's just going down. So you can stay out of it. When it starts to move up, it sets up that pattern that, okay, maybe ready to transition to an uptrend. And that's when you jump on board. So that way you can, you know, minimize holding time as well as minimize losses. So, you know, anything that has a pattern, we'll trade it. But I think cannabis stocks now are starting to set up a pattern, you know, at this time. So it could be something interesting.
So patterns are basically like a map of human psychology on a large scale, right? You know, if you've
got pretty much, there's only two emotions in trading, you know, fear and greed. People make trading decisions based on two decisions, fear or greed. And if it's fearful, you'll see it on the chart as the stock is going down, right? If it's greed, you'll see it really pushing to the upside. Like Bitcoin, when it went up to 20,000, that was, you know, that was greed. Right. And that's why we picked up on the greed. We actually bet against it. It came down from 19 to 3,000. And then it was fear. People were getting too quick to exit it. Right. And now it rebounded back up to 10,000. So learning how to decode fear and greed on charts will help you make the right decisions and stay on the right side of stocks.
Awesome. So what does it actually look like for, you know, a person? I guess one question would be, what's a minimum realistic portfolio size, you know, if someone has some, you know, disposable savings and they want to go into a little bit higher risk, and they want to embark upon your course, what would be the minimum size of an investment that a person would be able to work with by working with
you? So I think, you know, people can start with any form of investment. You know, how big or so how small it is, because it's all about percentages in the end, right? So in the end, it's all about percentages. So if you make, you know, 50% on your account, you know, even if you have $500, you just be realistic, right? If you have a $2,000 account, you're not going to make a living on it. So you got to be realistic. You know, as a day trader, if you want to day trade, then SEC rules is $25,000. So you got to have at least $25,000 in a trading account to do what I do, which is in and out every single day. That's just the SEC law. You can't get around it unless you live offshore. The other way is obviously you would say, hey, I already have a job, already have a business. I'm an entrepreneur. I don't want to learn how to trade. You know, well, then you have like advisory services like ours where you simply just follow whatever I'm buying or selling next day, right? So that's one way to do it. That way anybody can be involved and you don't need a lot of money. $2,000, $5,000 is what I would suggest at least to start off with. So at least it's meaningful to you just when you see the returns. Right. But if somebody trading currencies, I mean, you could start with $500,000. So starting is not an issue. People can start with as low as $500, right? It's just that you have to be realistic with your goals and what you're going to get out of it. And don't buy into the marketing emails that come into your inbox that say, hey, learn how to make $1 million in trading in 30 days. Not going to happen. I lost money my first year of trading, right? Finally, the second year, I finally got it.
So you mentioned something very interesting. So people can basically, you know, follow in your footprints, or is it kind of the service that you offer is, you know, a series of daily recommendations, you know, of buy, sell, or hold. So if you know, I'm assuming, you know, buy within, you know, certain limited stop orders at certain prices. In other words, don't buy above a certain price, or if something drops below, you might, you know, I don't know how you would handle something like that. You know, you probably are always got stop loss orders, but is that kind of how your service works, to where, you know, someone signs up and maybe you've got a passworded website section to where, you know, you've got the day's recommendations and then they can follow you throughout the day? Is that
kind of? Yeah. So we've even simplified it further, because one of the things that I noticed was when I started trading and when I was trying to follow these services, it was really hard to actually follow and get similar results because of all these different things, you know, depending on which price everybody's getting it at. So to make it easier, what we did so that everybody can follow is we send out a newsletter in your email every Sunday night. All right, market's closed, so prices are not going to move. Sunday night, you'll get your recommendations with entry prices and stop loss prices. So stop loss, for those who are new, is a price that you would get out at and just take your loss. So you're not holding on forever and waiting for it to come back. A stop order is when you get out of it and you take your loss, you move on. And a target order is where you're looking to get out if you're right. So every Sunday you get in your inbox a few trades, typically 2 to 5 trades. It says entry, stop, target. So you can actually go into your brokerage account, place the order in, because the price that we're going to put as an entry is always going to be higher than when the currency or stock actually is right now. So you have cushion. So you put your order to get in if it gets to that price. Right. If it doesn't get to that price, you're not getting in.
Okay.
So you put order in right on Sunday night with entry, stop, and target, and you forget about it. Right. And then we have a private member's Twitter account where you can sync up with your phone. So anytime you make a change, hey, let's raise our stop loss a little bit higher here, right? Or let's take half our position off right here. And we'll just send out a private message tweet to get it in your phone right away, and you can, you know, follow along with that. But typically Sunday night, as long as people got 15 minutes on a Sunday night, place the orders, you could easily mimic the results that we're getting.
Okay. So what would be the time commitment in hours per week that somebody would want to devote to, you know, doing this well?
So if you're looking to just follow like a newsletter and mimic the services, 15, 20 minutes on, you know, Sunday evening is totally fine. Now, if somebody wants to learn, then obviously you're going to need a lot more time. So somebody wants to learn, we also send out a 30, 40 minute video of our analysis, why we're looking to buy it, where we're looking to sell it, the whole analysis. Somebody wants to learn might actually watch that video, because he will see the patterns we're looking at. So he can also learn while he's, you know, looking at the newsletter. But somebody doesn't want to learn, you don't even need to watch the video. Just take this entry, stop, target in text format, copy it onto your brokerage account, 5-10 minutes, you're done.
Okay.
So it's pretty easy to follow. That's kind of how we made it. Is because as when I was starting out, when I was young, you know, I found it really hard to follow people. because the prices would have already moved by the time you're looking at their email or alerts. And it's hard to mimic the results because they got in at a different price, you got in at a different price. We're trying to keep it so that everybody's at the same.
Okay. So what was I just thinking of? Totally lost my train of thought there for a moment. The different types of brokerages. So when I was in it back, I've still got an E-Trade account after all these years. I had Brown & Company, then I got bought by E-Trade. But I'm hearing about a lot of things that seem to be more modern, like Robinhood. Is any brokerage account pretty much as good as any other? You know, Fidelity, Scottrade, Ameritrade, or what about these up-and-coming ones like Robinhood? Is there any benefit to different brokerage accounts over others?
So now there's not, but there used to be just a few weeks ago, actually. Robinhood obviously was super popular. The reason they're super popular is because it's a simple mobile app on your phone. You pull it up on your iPhone or Android, and you type in what you want to buy or sell, and that's it. Simple as that, you know, very easy to open an account. And more importantly, it was free commission. So you could just take the trade and you don't pay a commission. Whereas with a typical other broker like E-Trade or something, people are paying $5, $10 per trade. So that's how Robinhood got really popular.
How are they making money?
It's a whole different story. You know, they make money through order flow or the spread. So they still get their money. You still end up paying. You just don't know about it.
okay. You know. If you don't know, you don't suffer then.
Right. But as of this last 2 weeks ago, something big happened in the brokerage space, which is not happened in many years. Like Schwab, E-Trade, they all kind of announced that they're going to offer free commissions as well.
Really?
So all the big brokers now, Schwab, E-Trade, TD Ameritrade, they're all gone to free commission model to compete with these upcoming apps so that they don't, you know, than what they are. They've gone free commission as well. So now it's more easier than ever for anybody to get involved. Because you were paying $10 to get in, $10 to get out, $20 just to take a trade, whether you make or lose. Now it's free, so there's no transaction cost.
Cool. Let's talk about returns a little bit. What's a realistic expectation? I know that I'll probably always have to give the disclaimer. I always see in the mutual funds brochures, past performance, no guarantee of future result and all that. But what kind of returns could a person realistically expect by following your system?
Sure. So, I mean, if you're day trading, you know, day trading is totally different. That's more like a profession where we think in terms of R units. So R unit is basically one R is your risk unit. So for somebody, it might be $100 is R unit or is risk. For some people, it might be $1,000. So for every trade that we're taking, we're risking one R. And one R could be different for everybody. For you, it could be $100. For me, it could be $1,000. So whenever I day trade, for me, an R is $1,000. So if I take a trade, if I lose on that trade, I lose $1,000. But if I make on that trade, I'm going to try and make at least 2R or $2,000, right? So with that mathematics, even if I win half my trades, I'm profitable. So, you know, by that, I try and generate, you know, anywhere from 20 to 25R is what realistic as a day trader, right? For somebody who's risking $100, for you might be 2,500. Somebody risking $1,000 might be 25,000. So that's more income producing. But if you're talking about falling, let's say the newsletter we were just talking about, average return, historically, we've made about 30 to 50% a year on the newsletter, assuming you took every trade and, you know, all the other disclaimers. But, you know, assuming you're taking everything, historically, we've averaged 30 to 50%, some years more, some years less. This year, we're kind of on track for about 25%, which is, again, great because you put your money in the market, you get 8%, maybe 10%. Whereas with this, you're in and out and you could get a better return than the market. But as I said, this is more of a wealth building style. Which your goal is not to live off it. Your goal is not to spend it for your expenses. Your goal is to take an account and grow it every year, right? So the snowball keeps getting bigger. You start with this snowball, now you have this, now you have that. Every year it gets bigger because also the power of compounding as well.
Sure. So I've gone to a couple seminars that talk about options trading, and the numbers that were thrown out, and I can't remember the exact outfit, but they were talking about, they had a whole computerized system, you know, a custom website that they said it was pretty realistic to get about 10% per month, so 120% a year. Is that, something you would agree with as, you know, a type of figure that, you know, if you're active and you're paying attention that could be achieved?
Yeah, I think it's very doable, especially with options. Because options, you don't have to put in as much money as you would actually buying or selling the stock. Typically, you're putting like a tenth of the amount of money. So if you were to trade a stock, you made 1%. You're trading options, you could have made 10% on the option, right? So yes, with options, is definitely possible. Even with our form of trading, is definitely possible. For me personally, when I trade stock, I also trade the option along with it. So my returns are going to be much higher than the newsletter returns. But the newsletter returns are meant just for people who just want to set it, forget it. That's the model that we're using for that one, because people who might have a job or just want to follow a newsletter, following options is going to be complex.
Okay.
Personally, my returns are going to be higher than the newsletter, but our newsletter returns are just for somebody who wants to just click and just don't worry about it.
Got it. Now as far as the whatever options training, and do you have a portion of your product offering where someone can follow option trades as well as stock trades?
Yeah. So, we have multiple training programs. We got a different program for stocks, for options, and for Forex. So regardless of where anybody's at, whether you're a beginner, whether you're advanced, we have programs for everything. But first, you got to start with the fundamental training of stocks, because options are traded on those stocks. So you still need to know, how this market works, how the charts work. And then we do have specialized programs for each of those areas.
Okay. Can you give us a little bit of a breakdown as far as your actual product offering? If we got any listeners that are checking this out and thinking, wow, that sounds pretty cool, and they'd like to know a little bit more, can you lay out for us a little bit about what your actual product breakdown is as far as the training, maybe some of the price points and that sort of thing? So if people think this is interesting, they can get back with you and they'll know a little bit about what you got to offer.
Sure. So if anybody is listening who's interested in learning more about the markets, whether being you want to become a full-time trader and do it as a career, like a lot of people are doing, and you actually want to day trade every day, looking for a new career, or if you already have a job, already entrepreneur, already have a business, just want to trade on the side to generate an extra side income, then you can absolutely do that. So you got programs for each. So my suggestion for anybody listening would be to go to the website, livetraders.com, and in the blog section we have a lot of great educational articles that you can read totally free. Read them, get a basic understanding, and we also have a free digital PDF book on the website, which you can read as well. It'll give you good information about the markets, how everything works, our offerings, and because the first thing is to decide whether this is even right for you, because it's not right for everybody. You need a certain amount of capital, certain amount of risk capital per se, and then you also need a certain amount of time. So that's why I suggest people kind of read the blogs, read the ebooks, get an understanding. See if this is something you want to get into. And on all of our products, like the newsletter, the live chat room, which is more for day traders, they all have trials on them. So, you could check them out for free, try it out. Just come hang out with us in the chat room for like a month. Listen, learn, observe. Don't try and copy. Just learn, observe what we're doing, and you can get a good understanding. And then they could also call our office, the number's on the website. They can call us. One of our trading consultants will answer the call. Get on a call with you, get to understand where you're at, what you can do. And then based on your schedule, your work commitments, your capital, he would accordingly guide you in the right fit for your program. Or he might just say, I don't think it's the right for you. So, again, you'd have to give a call to one of our consultants. But we have programs starting ranging from $97 all the way till, $5,000, depending on where you're at. But again, everybody should start with the basics, because first things first, is this something I really want to do? Because you don't want to jump in and take a higher end program and you realize, oh, this is not for me. So you start small, build it up from there. We do live events too. So our third live event is in New York in about 3 days, actually 4 days in New York. So that's going to be an exciting one. We got 20, 30 close inner circle group, and we're going to be learning together, trading together for like a week. So it's going to be really amazing, and look forward. Maybe some of you guys listening, enroll to the program. Maybe next year when we have our next event in San Diego, we could see you over there.
Nice. So is there a way somebody can paper trade using your system? Do you have anything on your website to where you can set up like a play money account and actually follow your trades and see how well it works for them? And if, for those who are maybe a little more timid and they want to just kind of test the water that way,
Absolutely. We work with a broker called TradeStation. So they're one of our partners, and everything, again, everything that you spend, you know, at my company, Live Traders, TradeStation reimburses you that through, you know, rebates and things of that nature. So they also provide a free demo account. So you open it up. Everything is literally like a real account. The charts are real. Stocks moving up and down like real. Everything is real, just the money's not real. So you can practice in that account first, just trying to get a feel of, you know, putting orders in, getting in, getting out. Once you learn, I actually advise people, once you just learn how to get in and out, once you learn how to place order, you should immediately start going to like a live account, even if you're buying one share, right? Because on demo account, the problem that I've noticed with a lot of newer traders is that they spend too much time in it, and that builds the fear of pulling the trigger, right? There's no emotion to it. Everybody's a great trader on a simulator account because there's no emotions. Oh yeah, let me hold this stock forever. In real account, you're seeing your P&L fluctuate, go up and down. And I think that creates the emotions which are super needed to practice on. So I said, you know, take a demo account, learn how to place orders. Once you learn that, move as fast as you can to a real account, even if it's one share. One share is not gonna, you know, cause you to go broke or anything, but you will feel the real emotions, which is what you want if you want to get involved in the market.
Wow, that sounds awesome. I really appreciate that a lot. And I think it'll be really some valuable content. You know, like I said, we've got a very, very large portion of our listeners who are, you know, entrepreneurs and, you know, wanting to move their whole financial picture ahead. And a lot of people who have just chosen not to go the route of a corporate job and a little more risk takers. So I think this will be some really valuable content. And really appreciate you coming on. This has been some really interesting information. So it definitely got me, you know, thinking a lot more, because I used to have such a passion for it. You know, I'd read Investor's Business Daily. I'd get on the E-Trade sites, you know, watch CNBC every day. You know, it was just an exciting world to be involved in. And I think this is something that a lot of people will find to be really valuable. So we really, really appreciate you coming on. Any final words for our listeners?
Number one is nice chatting with you. I really enjoyed it. But the other thing I was, what you were mentioning, you know, that you obviously you were interested in, it was a very exciting world. I think what ends up happening with a lot of people is like trading is exciting. It is, it's a really good business to be in. Problem happens is like, we try and figure it out ourselves, right? By reading books, by going to workshops and watching TV shows. And I think what you really need is you need a community, right? Anybody wants to learn how to trade, you need a group, you need a community. You need like a like-minded group of chat room that you can hang out with and share with, and a mentor. I think that's the fastest way to learn. But on the other note, just a parting note for all the listeners, whether you decide to become a trader or not, you know, whether you're an entrepreneur or whether you do anything in life, right? Whether you work a job, work for somebody else, or start your own business, just focus on the number one key that I mentioned earlier in this interview, which is integrity, right? Everything starts and ends there. And more importantly, also go out and take action. Because a lot of people, you know, would read a lot of books, a lot of workshops, listen to a lot of podcasts, but then you ask themselves, what did you do today to move the needle in your business? You know, there's no answer. So I want people to get out of the learning loop, which I call the learning loop, which I was stuck in for a long time, going from workshop to workshop, book to book.
I don't know what you mean.
Knowledge in my head. Yep. All the book knowledge in my head. When it comes down to it, I'm like, I haven't moved the needle. So again, focus on return on investment. Don't focus on return on ego. That's what I would end with.
Absolutely. Edmal, that is awesome. I really appreciate all your information. And I think a lot of our folks will get a lot out of that. And you'll probably see a lot of our people showing up over at your website. So I wish you the best and stay in touch.
Definitely. Thanks for having me. Nice chatting with you.
All right. Well, take care.
Take care. Have a good one.
Well, I hope you guys enjoyed that conversation. Again, this is Rob Rowe of the Shapeshifting Reality Podcast. Also working with Debbie Dashinger of the Dare to Dream Podcast. This will appear both places. And if you like this conversation, please leave us a 5-star review. Maybe throw a comment there under YouTube. All of these things help create visibility for this show and the ideas that we discuss here for the community at large. And we'd really appreciate that a lot. We are on Spreaker. We are on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, all the usual places. So let's get the word out, guys. We're really striving to do some good things, have some conversations with some brilliant people, and we really hope you enjoy it. And thank you very much for your support.